I'm Jeff Wilson. I'm an artist and a technologist, and I'm going to move this. This is awesome. Okay. So I'm Jeff Wilson. I'm an artist and a technologist, and this is my work. So on the surface, a lot of these look an awful lot like pretty traditional block prints, like woodcuts and lino cuts and things like that. But there's actually a lot more that's going on here in how I approach my art. Over the last couple of years, I've started to realize that I've been borrowing a lot from my day job as a technologist. And this has really impacted how I approach my art, and in particular, how I perceive really the future of art and how it relates to what it is that I create. Now, you might be looking at this and say, okay, you know, I noticed that you have some QR codes up in there, but, you know, it's still a print. It's still on paper. It doesn't look very techie, perhaps, right? But that's okay, because this is what I do, right? I don't create robots. I've never really had an interest in the kitschy, techie art. And I certainly don't want to be seen as trying to be trendy. Being trendy as an artist has always been a downfall of a lot of artists. And I'm just taking a bunch of screen captures of, or snaps around the registration over at the convention center. These guys are up everywhere, these QR codes. So I'm certainly trying not to be trendy. But what I've realized after 16 years in IT, one of the things that I'm actually really taking away from my day job is this idea that technology, as important as it is today, it doesn't necessarily have to be obvious to be relevant and useful. And in, even furthermore, I'm really looking at the way that we are so fundamentally focused on trying to define this physical, real-world experience and how we're trying to integrate these with some kind of data point or some kind of touch point, digital touch point online somehow. And now, at a conference like this, I don't really have to explain what that means to us, but it actually does raise a really interesting dynamic that we haven't really seen before. And that's this completely embedded physical and digital world that we haven't really had to deal with much before in the past. There's some interesting questions that relate to the early days of the web, but in a lot of ways that there's some inherent differences. Right? So in the same way we reacted to the web in those early days, we're asking some of those questions of what is this digital medium actually mean to businesses? How is it that we need to react and change our models so that we can respond to the requirements of that digital platform? But there was one very simple inherent difference in that back in those old days, we were either in a store perhaps, or we were online. Or we were doing something, something that in a digital form that's slightly different. Those worlds didn't necessarily overlap as much as they do today. Today we have such an embedded environment where the real world is mixed up with the digital world that it's raising all kinds of new issues that as a designer and a technologist, these are not necessarily easy questions to solve. And so it becomes even more difficult for an artist, because an artist is all about creating an experience. And it's hard enough to come up with some kind of relevant, interesting work and put it on a piece of paper. But the paper, it's right there, right? That's the experience. But now we have this issue of how do we actually get that into a multimodal space? How do we take Sophie over here, and we put her in this multimodal world? Do I take my my camera and take a picture and she just shows up on my camera somehow, or is there some other space where Sophie is being experienced by the viewer, perhaps? Right, the old world of having a piece of paper that's on the wall is something that is still relevant, absolutely, but it is fundamentally changing. And so what I'm trying to do here in this space is, and this is the point of the QR codes, is to be able to sort of look at a broader experience, a more digitally oriented experience, and see how it is impacted, or how it impacts the art world. Right, so in my day job, we do this an awful lot with retailers and telecoms and cable companies and things like that. But for the artist, it's slightly different. If I were a retailer, say, and somebody came into my store and they had a phone and they wanted to buy a pair of shoes, we could understand that what they would probably want to do with that phone. Right, they're probably going to, look up, some reviews. Maybe they want to scan something and see. Do some price comparisons or something like that, right? But we don't have that same kind of transactional expectation in art. What does this mean? How does this change? And what's really interesting is that this is something that is leading into a very broad change, I believe, in the art world. And that's because there's the two main factors that come into play usually when major shifts in art happen. One is social change, which is fairly obvious, right? You can figure out what causes those. And the other one is a technological change. And what's interesting to me as an artist and as a software architect, this is actually tapping into both sides of my world, right? This has given me the ability to be able to look in and try to see the future a little bit and try to assume what might be available and try to form something new and widely different than what we've had before. And it's been a long time since that we've had any major shifts in the art world. It is actually really interesting in the sense that we have at this time both the sociological change and the technical change both impacting the future of this space. So one of the challenges is, what does this look like? Right? What can you actually do? On the upside of this, this is the job of the artist. An artist is always out there sort of analyzing the world around them and trying to think up new and interesting ways and being creative and coming up with something, right? So we still have that. That's the artist's job, right? So in my case, I've been playing around with this for a year, and I feel like, to be perfectly honest, I'm doing only the obvious stuff at the moment, right? So I don't know how far this actually goes. And so I have the Facebook page and the Twitter account and the Pinterest boards and all that kind of stuff going on. But there's a lot. There's so much more that could possibly be. What is it like to actually experience and art when it is in this digital form? Now, one change that I have noticed in myself is the nature of what constitutes the art. Right? For me, in the past, it was I would make a picture, I'd hand it off, it'd be gone, and then the users get, or the my audience gets to see the piece. Now, I'm doing everything online, right? So in Facebook, people are watching me prepare for this presentation. They're watching me create a work of art. They're seeing it start from an idea and go into the future. I have also this mobile view of my work. So here you can see some of these pictures. I've got a hack into to Pinterest to be able to sort of take a picture of my real world physical work of art and be able to actually tie that to something on the server and be able to pre-populate and do whatever it is for Pinterest and what's needed there. I've got these other interfaces where I can scan the code and go straight to a page about the work of art. These are, in my mind, very, very obvious solutions, right? You take a picture of the code, you see information about the piece, and you can do something from there. What happens next? Well, that's up for grabs. I'm not entirely sure what happens. But I am sure that it is going to change fundamentally moving forward. So as I said before, there's two main aspects of what constitutes big change in the art world, one social change and one technological change. It's important to realize that technology doesn't necessarily mean software. It's not equal to software. Technology actually is equal to tools, right? Artists use tools to build an experience. And if you look at technology as tools, we've always had technology forever, right? We didn't just invent technology recently. We've had technology since the beginning of time, right? Paintbrushes, technology. Oil paints are technology. These are actually really, really interesting devices. Even though, you know, my kids have like 50 of these paintbrushes laying all around the house, right? And they're making messes with oil. These, at one point, were revolutionary ideas, right? The paintbrush allowed a person who could paint, you know, to do something widely different that they couldn't do before. The oil paints actually have a really fascinating history. They existed for 1,000 years sort of under the radar for a while before it hit the Renaissance. During the Renaissance, it actually came in and it revolutionized the way art was made, mainly because the difference between oil paints and egg tempera paints at the time, egg tempera paints, very, very pastel-y when they're finally made. Oil paints, because they stay liquid for a long time, you can put a whole bunch of pigment, you get these deep, rich, vibrant colors. And if you imagine these vast cathedrals filled with incense and smoke and no electric lights, right, the oil paints just, you know, pop off of the walls compared to those egg tempera paints, right? So it annihilated the entire industry. Egg tempera paints, incidentally, had been like the prime paint for like maybe 3,000 years, just gone just a few years. And it's kind of interesting because oil paints is sort of like the retina display of the Renaissance, which I think is kind of interesting, right? But it's not necessarily about the tools and the materials that necessarily impact the change of art. Sometimes it also impacts entire genres. Textbook example, the Impressionists. What happened with the Impressionists, right? Photographers came along. They took pictures. It looked like what they wanted, right? It looked real. That's the point of photography, right? So in a way, it's interesting because painters now make a complete U-turn on how they approach their art because they have this invader in their space that they never saw coming. These guys don't know how to paint. They don't know how to make art, right? But they knew how to take a picture, and they've completely come out of left field and really disrupted the art field. And what's interesting in our office is that we have companies come in, I'm talking major, major companies, come into our office and say, you know what, in 2 years we're dead, we're gone, because Google, Facebook, all these people are going to kill us. And the first thing that we say is, what are you talking about? You're a telecom, you're a cable company, who are these people? And once they start to describe, of course, people come out of left field all the time. And so that happened to the painters back in the day. And so what they did two things. What was really interesting at the time, during the late 1800s, the society, I just have a couple slides left, society really got really excited about this technology, right? They were excited about sort of advances in technology and things like that. They were swept up in it as well. So it wasn't just photographers who were just producing the same kind of product. It was also people who were really excited about it. What Impressionists did is they took that excitement about that and they incorporated it into their art, which is the way Impressionist paintings work. They deconstruct the light, in a sense, into little parts. And then what they did is they produced something that photographers couldn't compete with, right? So the same thing basically happens with Cubism. Cubism is basically the same thing, a bunch of pictures from different angles, perhaps over time. It's a reaction to film. Running out of time here, but since the two main changes here, the two main things that cause change is social and technology, what's exciting now is that both of these things are happening together, right? We have this idea that people are accustomed to the technology taking over our lives, really getting integrated into our lives, and we'll see a lot of change in here. So in conclusion, a couple of things here. So first off, I can't really show you my work too much other than kind of jumping past all of those pictures along the way. So I did actually arrange to have my stuff shown at Starbucks down at 6th and Congress. You know, if you're at all interested in this stuff, go down there, take your phone, take a few snaps, do whatever you, have fun with it. There's my email there. If you have any ideas, like I said, I've only just got started in this, maybe about a year ago, but I think there's so much more here, and it's so exciting to me as both a technologist and an artist. Just in case you're curious, there are my tech creds, a couple of .com things, IBM for 8 years, master inventor for 48 Pell patents, and I now work at Frog Design, and recently kicked off a little side project doing elementary school education apps, which is also totally awesome. With that, thanks. There's my Facebook, Etsy, my Twitter stuff. right? All Museum of Mod Jeff. If you're all interested in this field, please, drop me a note. And otherwise, thank you.